You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Savage Arms and the new 110 Ultralight. At about 6 pounds, the 110 Ultralight is designed to combat elevation and the elements while maintaining the performance of a factory blueprinted Savage 110 action. The carbon fiber wrapped stainless steel barrel makes it durable and lightweight. The rifle comes equipped with the Savage AccuFit technology, so that means it's adjustable and it comes in a variety of calibers. The 308, the 270, the 28 Nosler, the 280 Ackley Improved, the 30-06, and much more. If you want to find out more information about the 110 Ultralight, visit savagearms.com.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith.
And Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
Welcome to another Land and Legacy Podcast. Wow, we've got a powerful one for you guys this week. Returning guest Dr. Raul Sanchez from Renewing the Mind Clinic. He is back. Man, as soon as we had him on the first podcast, we knew it was going to be just a powerful message and one that we were going to have him back on. And we've kind of held that card a little close and wanted to basically record and release for a timely event, let's say. And that event, for a lot of people, maybe it's already starting in your state or getting ready to here in the first part of October, but we're talking hunting season. We're talking just the ability to get back outside for more, let's just say, quiet time and to be able to enjoy nature creation. And maybe you're doing that by yourself, or maybe you're doing that to build relationships with other people who are close to you, kids, wife, father, whoever, it does not matter. This podcast is revolving around the importance of those relationships, the importance of time outside. But a couple words that just come to mind, as you guys will hear throughout this podcast, is communication and awareness. And that those words obviously have a lot of weight and are very applicable in many different aspects of life, but from hunting to relationships, those are extremely important. So that's kind of a common theme throughout it all, but there's going to be so much good points to be made here. We'd love to get your feedback on this podcast and what it kind of means to you. This is kind of the heart of Land and Legacy, and the important word there for this podcast, obviously, is legacy. Adam and I, one of the big things we'd like to have, let's say, the business of Land and Legacy do is just impact people. We don't want our legacy to be left, but we want the idea of getting outside, mentoring people, creating memories, and introducing the gospel to people is the, if you will, legacy that should be left there. And land is a way that it can be introduced and connect people. So this is a strong part of let's just say the philosophy of Land and Legacy. So we're happy, excited, elated to have Dr. Sanchez on this podcast to be able to bring his insight to that side of it as well. So we hope that it is meaningful, impactful to you. But remind you, it's an early morning podcast recording. I don't think we're terribly sluggish, so it's probably a great time to give a shout out to Niangua Coffee for making this podcast possible, because definitely sipping on some coffee this morning as we are preparing to get underway with Dr. Sanchez. But be sure to give Niangua Coffee a check out online or Instagram, follow them. But subscription-based coffee, and they just brought back Deer Camp Coffee Roast for this season. So be sure to check them out, nianguacoffee.com. Pick yourself up some for the fall. Enjoy it. Let us know what you guys think about it. But without further ado, let's go ahead and open up the lines and get Dr. Sanchez on the phone, and let's get underway with this powerful podcast. Hope you guys enjoy it. All right, Dr. Sanchez, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Man, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. I don't remember the exact date you were on last time, but we had a fantastic conversation. I encourage everyone to go back and listen to that as well, as it will kind of pick up and lead off from some of those conversations or some of those ideas and topics that we had discussed then. But we'll just take this and run with it. But man, how's life been? How's it been treating you?
Oh, it's been awesome. It's been really, really fun. We're in a time of our life. My wife calls it the simple life.
There you go.
So we've got four kids, and so we've got a 32-year-old who's married with two kids. We have a son who's 22, just graduated from Iowa State in mechanical engineering, and he just got engaged.
Nice.
So they're off and running. And then we have a son who's down, a sophomore, and he's in a neuroscience program at Creighton University down in Omaha. So we have a 10-year-old left at home who's turning 11 here shortly.
Nice.
And so it's really just like, you know, my wife, myself, and our 10-year-old.
Sure.
And so she calls it the simple life because dinners are so easy.
I'm sure she's, and after that many years, she's welcoming that.
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the funny thing. I find myself pressured when I grill
because
I'm used to like grilling like three slabs of ribs or something. And now I grill like a slab of ribs and they both have like maybe one or two.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I have to eat them. Like I can't, like, I'm not going to save them. They're not as good the next day.
Oh man, that's funny.
I cook some deer steaks and I'm like, what? You both only shared one?
Oh,
like,
that's funny.
So I got to eat three. Like, oh, yeah, man, I got a man up. Let's go.
Oh man, fun times. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, do you mind giving just kind of a brief, not example, but kind of what it is that you do? Again, refresh everyone's mind of your practice and then how you help individuals, and a little bit about your faith, because I know we're going to get into that probably quickly onto the conversation as well.
Yeah. So I'll just tell you real quick, just my life story. My dad suicided before I was two. We left Texas, move up in Iowa with my grandma. So I was raised mostly by a very strong woman, my grandma, another very strong woman, my mom. And then growing up as an athlete, I have dyslexia, so I wasn't a very good student. I met a girl who was a Christian, was trying to take me to church and teach me about God. And she got pregnant when she was 16, I was 17. And so we had a son. So we graduated high school.
Yep.
Still kind of dating. And then she was going to go to Evangel University down in Springfield, Missouri. And I was going to North Dakota State to play football. But throughout our process of co-parenting, I really fell in love with her and couldn't let her go. So I asked her to marry me. So we went up to North Dakota State. I played college football. We both got a bachelor's degree while raising a son. And then we went to the University of Iowa, where I got a PhD in psychology, and then moved back here in hometown, which is Sioux City, Iowa. And I started to practice, I started to practice psychology in 1999. And so I've been practicing here for, you know, 21 years. And we started a clinic called Renewing the Mind Clinic in 2013. And that's based off of Romans 12:2, which basically says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may test and approve that which is God's perfect and pleasing will. So that verse breaks down into three parts. Like, we call it renew, move, and find. And that's what I teach in the clinic. My specialty is working with adolescents, especially what's called it's like developmental psychopathology, which is like almost like the development of a criminal life, the development of a person who goes sideways in life. And so I pair that clinically with a nonprofit organization we have called 12-2 Outdoors.
Yep.
And that whole thing is basically like to reach the least of these, like kids who perhaps don't have a dad, don't have anyone to teach them. So that's my big push right here, is putting the clinic of helping people, individuals, families, especially marriages. And then I go after men like crazy because I feel like I'm supposed to be a fisher of men.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't just come and hand them a Bible and say like, hey, Jesus loves you. I just ask them where they're at and just walk with them for a while. And then, you know, they'll eventually ask me what's my secret sauce, like how do I do it? and then I'll talk to him about scripture.
There you go.
And how that makes my life different, and where I came from in my family history of a bunch of failed father figures to me, where I'm trying to be a trailblazer for my kids.
Sure, absolutely. And I think obviously anyone would agree if they know that you're doing that in full force and doing a fantastic job. And truthfully, that's exactly why we want you to be able to be on this podcast. We share a lot of the same desires to be able to impact people.
Yes.
And do it with a by introducing the gospel to people. And that's what we're called to do. And so I think your approach and your ability to understand where people are at and just get there and get there to their heart and speak directly is certainly a gift. And I hope, you know, through the conversation that we're going to have today, ultimately that's what happens.
Yes.
You know, we've got topics that we want to talk about, that we want to kind of cover, but we're just going to open up the conversation and just let it flow. And, hopefully if you're listening, you listen to the whole thing and it just speaks to you in some way, some manner. And yeah, I mean, we're going to talk, creation. We're going to talk God. We're going to talk him speaking to you. We're going to talk about problems. We're going to talk about everything. But hopefully it's just relatable and that it opens your heart and your mind to what God's will is in your life ultimately. So, man, I just always appreciate your story and your sharing and just the heart that you have. So
yeah, thank you.
Last time we talked a lot about, if you will, just nature in general and the way that kind of it was created, but the way that we can all enjoy creation as a whole,
yes,
and what that does to us as individuals, as people, and it's if you will, like a medium that God uses to speak to us. We're called to be outside. He spoke to, I think, as about half of his sermons he ever spoke were outside, and so like there's something magical about just being outside. And Adam and I love being outside. We're out there as much as we can be. Most people listen to this podcast are, you yourself are, a big time hunter and enjoy just creation and feel called to be out there. But you introduced a phrase, a topic, last time, and it ties into our name. And I think this is just another one of the reasons why we connect well, is legacy is the word, but you paired it with a living legacy. And I think that I'd like for you, if you will, to just define legacy and then define or compare contrast living legacy. And what does that mean?
Yeah, 100%. So here, I'll give you a quick picture. So like when I die, I'm going to leave something to my kids. Okay. That's called a legacy. Like in the dictionary, like a legacy is a gift of money or property / land that's left in a will to a loved one. So literally a legacy technically is a gift from the grave.
Yeah.
Like typically you don't even know that it's there until somebody dies, and then you're at this will meeting and then you're like, whoa, cool. You know, I get the farm. That's amazing.
It seems materialistic as well.
It can be. Yes. Yeah. Because it's like, wow, I didn't know him that well, but he left me the land. Right. So there's no way around trying to belittle that, because it's an absolute gift. And the Bible does say to leave an inheritance. So it's godly, it's scriptural. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it. So don't get me wrong that I'm trying to like knock that in any way.
Definitely.
Okay. Here's my thing that woke me up a few years back. You know, I was chasing big bucks and I was missing kids' stuff just because, like, you know, I got caught up in obsession of big bucks.
Yeah.
And the chase, you know, it's all about the chase. Like, man, this thing's outsmarted me. And so I'm a problem solver and like, I just got to chase this dude. And so I just had this vision just one day. And I think I was mowing, I was working in the yard, and I thought, you know, when I die, I'm going to leave all these big heads on the wall to my kids, and they're going to freaking sell them at a rummage for $5.
Yeah.
And like some dude who's just, you know, a horn freak is going to come up and offer him a dollar, and they're going to let this dude go that I chased for 3 years for a freaking dollar.
Right.
And I just sat there. I like the mower turns off and I'm like, wait, what? You know, like
that
and it's
moment.
Just like, this is stupid, you know?
Yeah.
And so when you think about that, stop and think for a moment. Like if I'm the only one who knows how to chase this buck and I die with all that skill set, 20 years of a buck hunter or whatever, 30 years, 50 years of just trying to outsmart bucks, and I die with that information, all they see is a head on a wall.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you understand?
Yep.
Now the living legacy concept is still, I'm going to leave them a legacy.
Right.
But that legacy is going to be gifted to them in real time. It's not a gift from the grave. It's a gift of life.
Right.
So when my kids were little, I would come home and I'd be like, dude, listen. And I'd name a buck, you know, like, hey, sure. Okay. So like, hey, the big eight. I was like, remember I told you how, you know, I rattled them in last time. Okay. This time I did this. And they're like, well, what happened? And it's almost like they want to know the story.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm reading them a little book, you know? And then sometimes they got a little older, we would go with them, but they, you know, they didn't do good in the tree stand. They did good in the blind. So they were more turkey hunters. And so as I started understanding that concept, the living legacy is this: real life conversations that level up a child or a mentee, somebody you're working with in real time. So it's literally a wisdom update. Hmm. Like you could just be driving your car and you get a notification that your phone needs an update. And you can't update it because it's not plugged into Wi-Fi. So you go home and then you just update your phone.
Right.
How often, you know, we've got three adult sons. Like, how often do I need to update them? How often do I need to pull them aside and say, hey, bro, listen, quick update? And the answer is weekly. When they were at home, when they were growing up at home, it was daily, every day at the dinner table.
Right.
Like, hey, what happened? Hey, who's got a problem? Hey, who got stuck? And then just say, well, you know, I got this teacher who won't let me read this assignment. And then we just problem solve it. Or you know what? I got moved from quarterback to D end and I'm not liking it.
Yeah.
Like, so there, we need your problem solve. You jump in every day. Now that they're kind of on their own, they don't call me every day or I don't check in, but we definitely check in weekly.
Sure.
And it's just, how are things going? How are you problem solving? And I'll just ask them, and this is my language, like, how's your DMO? The DMO is the daily mode of operation, which is you wake up and you hit the ground on a routine every single morning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our Bible study time. That's your devotion time. That's your download from the Lord.
Right. Right.
Okay. And then once a week I give them a download, like, okay, here's this thing I'm dealing with, or hey, here's what's really cool I found out in scripture. Okay. Now that they're really busy, you know, college life, and I'll tell them, they'll say, hey dad, you know, like last year, like, hey dad, did you see RJ, which is the buck I was chasing? And I was like, no, I just saw these, you know, little deer and stuff like that, you know. And they're like, dude, what are you doing? Why are you still in the same stand? Like, they start to problem solve me now. Like,
oh wow. Yeah.
But you know, okay, do you understand? And so like here's the big piece. Like, this living legacy thing, I want you to think about this. Like, yes, you can drop a farm and at a will somebody will pronounce this to a gift and it'll be a lovely thing. But here's the issue that I see, and this is where I see people come in full circle, like older than me,
mm-hmm.
upset because they own a farm and they can't get anybody to come, or they have a lake house and no one's showing up. And they're like, how do I like engage my grandkids?
Sure.
Right. And there's a part of me that wants to say, bro, we're completely behind the eight ball.
Yeah.
But I also want to say, okay, there's time. They're alive. You're alive. We got time.
Yep.
But here's the thing. Like when my dad dies, I want people to come to me and say, hey, Raul, can I take you out for coffee? Because I want to know about your dad. So we want the son to be able to describe how his father thought, how his father problem solved, how his father attacked problems.
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
So I was alive to learn from my dad in real time. But here's what I see. I see this a lot. People will come up to dad's best friend. So like when I die, I don't want my kids to go up to my best friend, Dirk, and say, hey, Dirk, can I take you out for coffee? I want to know some things about my dad.
Yeah, right.
Like, that sucks. We don't want that to happen.
You want the relationship between you and your son to be so strong that he can articulate your thoughts and how you were and that wisdom drop.
Absolutely. Because now he knows at his age, you know, like 22, he knows what his dad, who is just turning 50, now starts to understand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a real life update for him, and he gets to like have this wisdom drop on him, you know, weekly or every time he calls. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no doubt.
So if you stop and think about like all the stuff, you know, like, this is funny. We talked about this last time, but you know, I was out talking coffee and I mentioned these thorns like by my tree stand, And, right. you know, and you mentioned it was an oak tree. And I was like, wait, what? Like honeysuckle oak, something. I don't remember. And
oh,
I was like,
honey locust.
Oh, there you go. Honey locust. Like something. And I was like, dude, I just barely described it to you. But, you know, there's like all kinds of thorns in the woods. But when I explained the long needle piece, you're just like, boom. Like, see, like if you die with that and you leave a land, nobody knows all the pieces.
Sure. Yeah.
Right. Yep. It's like getting a game. It's like getting a board game, but no instructions.
Yeah. Right.
Okay. So the most important thing, as you know, is the instructions.
Yeah.
Okay. And so that's super important just to understand. And again, you know, for me, if I can pick one, and this is where I've led my life, if I have one to chase down, because I don't know how many years I have left, like I'm going to go all in on a living legacy.
Right.
So when I die, I'm not going to have a huge financial purse to drop to the kids, but what they'll have is way worth more money than money, because they'll have the instructions to create their old board game.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's a question.
So the ultimate goal would be to do both. Like if you can do both, man, go do both, because you'll be like a titan.
Yeah.
You know?
So how does, let's just say there's someone out there listening and they're like, man, that just hit me hard. I don't know if my kids could, or if I've been leaving the legacy here with my child, and just that relationship that I have, I don't know, how do I get into that? Like, I know I'm not there, but like, how do I begin to start, let's say, wisdom dropping on them daily? Like, how would they go about that? Because maybe their kid is, you know, 12, they're picking up on things, they're smart, and all of a sudden, like, there's just this big change in the way that, you know, maybe a dad talks to his daughter or dad talks to his son, and the way that he's handling that relationship, and the kid's smart, right? They're like, Dad, what are you doing? Like, what's going on? How do they go about doing that in a way that is impactful to that kid?
Yeah. So perfect. Just, we'll put this in language, like, you know, like the land and legacy language, like you have to drop a seed.
Yeah.
And that seed has to be like in your wheelhouse. So for me, I talk, I'm a communicator. So what I would do is I would just grab my kid and I would say, hey, Tavian, I need to apologize to you because I've done some, I just have some regrets, like, you know, not being there for you a lot. But like, what's the best way? Can I send this to you? Like, can I give you a card? Can I just like talk to you for a minute? Do you want to go to lunch? Like what? And of course the kids are going to be a little bit weird. Like, wait, what are you doing? What do you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have to kind of drop that seed first and then, and give a little bit of window of time.
Sure.
Like let it germinate a little bit. And then a kid would be like, I don't know, maybe lunch or something. Right.
Right.
And then you're like, okay, so I'll text you sometimes at work. I'll check my work schedule. And so now we might put it off 7 to 10 days. Okay. So that's a communicator. But let's say that's not you. So let's say you send your kid an email or you send your kid a text saying the exact same thing. And some dads are really techie. So like that guy could record a video, right? And and send it to like a Snap story to their kid and be like, hey, quick question. Like, I've got some mistakes. I know I haven't been nice to you. I know I've blown up, but I really want to, you know, kind of like make this right with us. And I got some ideas of how we can like, you know, bond.
Sure.
So what's the way we can do that? Do you want to meet at home? Do you want to go on a walk? Can I take you to lunch? Right. Mm-hmm. And so you drop the seed. What happens to us is like, you know, we get motivated with a podcast or, you know, we listen to somebody and then we sit down and just start like word vomiting on our kids and our wives. And then they're like, what just happened? And then I'm looking at this and I'm like, man, that dude doesn't know what he's talking about. Like, I tried this and my wife's still mad at me. Like, you know, and it's okay because like we're like 6 years ahead of them. So I would just like drop the seed, let it germinate a little bit and then pick up. And now that you've had a couple of days to think through it, you're even kind of working on your deal now. Same channel. So for me, I would still talk, but for a guy who drops a video or an email, same thing. So in the middle of that, okay, we dropped the seed. I've asked a few questions, and now we're gonna like schedule this, and we've got it locked in next Friday. So it's like, let's say we got 7 days.
Yeah.
So now I've got time to process. So now I'm gonna write like a note card, or maybe just a letter handout, maybe an email. And I'm going to write some things that really bother me, some things that are kind of like in my way. And I'm just going to like, nah, that doesn't work. Right. Like literally like in the movies where you see people write like, you know, script and then they throw it away.
Right. Yep.
So just kind of write it until it's like, okay, that really sounds like me. That's, and you have to do it from your heart because the kids will see right through that. Right. Kids are super, super good at seeing who's fronting. Fronting is like a kid term where like, you know, if you go to Shields or you go to like an outdoor store like Cabela's, like they got the absolute best gear on the dude in the window.
Right.
And then you're like, dude, I want that coat. And you see it's $400. Like, and you haven't looked at the boots or the binoculars, or, you know. So when people go, oh, you're fronting, it means like you're putting everything up front like you're this guy, but you're really not that guy.
Mm-hmm.
So don't front. Gotcha. Just be 100% you. Okay. Now, when you have the meeting, now you've dropped the seed. You've let it germinate a little bit. You've also sent them something in between. And then when you sit down, you're like, okay, so you got my email. Okay, good. So we're on the same page. So I want to pick up from the email. So let's go where I mentioned this about grandpa. Here's why I'm doing this. Like, I didn't really know my dad, but grandpa took me hunting. And I want to be more like grandpa to you. I'm not saying I want to be grandpa to you because I'm your dad. But, like, I want to have a great relationship with you. And I want you to be able to tell me anything.
So this,
does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. Without a doubt. This is coming and timed particularly well, let's say. We wanted to have you on probably the next week after the very first podcast we did with you. But we're getting into season. Like, we're getting into hunting season. And last time we talked, you mentioned how you work with going hunting and scheduling things with you and your wife and sitting down and making time you know, with each other and understanding schedules and how that works for you all. As we go into hunting season now, many states have opened up, other states are coming on here pretty quickly. How do we take what you just said and translate it into creating opportunities and creating memories for you and your loved ones while being outside? Because, like, again, last podcast, we talked a lot about nature. But, like, I'd like to let you kind of roll with the whole idea of, okay, we've got nature. We know how powerful it is to be outside. But we also know that we have to be outside and leaving a living legacy. And it's not always hunting, right? I mean, we can do tons of different things. We can go camping. We can go fishing. We can go on a hike. It doesn't matter. But how can we combine all of these things in a manner that does not continue to stress out our wives, which I'm not the best at. I think a lot of people probably would agree that they're not the best at. And like, put stress in on other relationships. How do you find all the balance in all that? And I know that's an extremely complex question, but I just kind of want to, like, if you will, let you kind of know where that I'd like to see the conversation go to and just let you run with it.
Yeah. And the number one answer, to be honest, is an easy word called awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be awareness of what we call the ripple effect. The ripple effect is, let's assume we're at, you know, Landon Legacy's party. You guys just got an award for your podcast and we're all there and there's people who are in the pool and there's people who are just barbecuing and some people just show up like they're dressed up. And I see, let's say I'll pick on Adam. I see Adam in the pool. He's got a cool little, you know, I don't know, ducky that he's sitting on top
he's
of.
He's got a cool little floaty. Yeah.
He's got a floaty. I'm like, hey, Brenton, watch this. I'm like, hey, Brenton, watch this, watch this. And I take off across. I jump up and just totally cannonball him.
Yeah.
And he flips upside down. He's got water in his nose and he's like, Sanchez, I hate you, you know? And we all start laughing. And then I look at you, Matt, and you're disgusted. And I look at the boys next to you, the dudes next to you, and they're all like these executives that now they're soaked and they got sport coats on.
Right. Right.
And I'm like, what the freak was I thinking? Okay. So, and then this is what happens all the time. Like we get a goal. We tell somebody about it. They're like, dude, go do it. Right. We're all in and we do it and we're all excited about the accolades, you know?
Yeah.
And then we look around and we're like, why is my wife pissed? And why are my kids not talking to me? Like, they don't want to see these two cool, you know, trail cam pics. Like, what? I don't understand.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the idea is they were in a different game, but they were approximately close to you and you soaked them.
Mm.
So that's what we call awareness. I was aware of the few people that I talked to. I was unaware that other people wanted to be with me, but they weren't quite in the game yet.
Yeah.
Makes sense?
For sure.
Okay. So when we head into hunting season, like, we all know what to do. Like, right now, let's hunt food. It's early season.
Yeah.
Right. Like, you know, early and late. Okay. As we move toward, like, okay, I would love to have a business where I could look at the weekly schedule and be like, okay, dang, Thursday's dropping 20 degrees. It's a sweet cold front. It's a south wind for me where I hunt, like perfect. Mm-hmm. Let's drop 20 degrees and just take the day off and go.
Yeah.
And let's say I smoke, you know, one of my hit list bucks, and I come back and my wife doesn't talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I forgot to tell her that I was canceling that day at the office and mm-hmm. I was just going to go hunt. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and that's what happens to us a lot, because we're in go mode. And literally, like, we're the buck who's just got the head to the ground, and we're bird dogging, and we don't even see any surroundings.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we are going to get sniped.
Yeah, that's okay? true. That's a great analogy.
Bro, it's 100%.
Yes, right? It is. Yes, it is.
We all love for that day. We're like, look uh-huh. at this dummy. Look at this dummy, right? Okay.
Easy pickings.
Yeah, and if I'm watching, you know, like if somebody on the outside is watching me and my marriage, they're like, oh, dang, look at Sanchez again. He's so dumb. Like, dude, just pick your head up. Just pick your head up. Just pick your head up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So come full circle. And I think I mentioned this, like 2011, I didn't hunt.
Right.
I took the whole year off and we rebooted how we do this. And so now we sit down and we look at the calendar and I try to look for the moon phases, and I got my system that I try and watch, and I can't like take time off just because, like, in our clinic, like literally we have like a 4 to 6 month waiting list. So
yeah,
it would be super rude for me just to call and, you know, drop mm-hmm. 8 to 10 people and be like, bro, I'm hunting. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? Okay. So I can't do that. So we look at weekends.
Sure.
And I'll schedule out weekend hunts, and like, you know, the 10th, my brother's getting married. So, or actually they're renewing their vows. So mm-hmm. we're taking that whole weekend off. And then, the 15th, that next weekend, 16th, I'm going to some farmers who have some hogs.
Yeah.
And I've already put my name in. And so we get to butcher a hog together as nice. A big team, a bunch of people.
Yeah.
Just because, you know, that with COVID, they can't sell as pigs as fast.
Yep.
So, you know, we're getting a discount price and we're doing a lot of the work ourselves. So that's cool. 2 hunting weekends down.
Yep.
And I'm 100% okay with it, because like the exchange of me sitting in a tree versus me and, you know, like 8 or 10 other dudes, like, you know, we get to, you know, harvest the pig
yep.
and then butcher it all as a team.
Right.
Right. I get to go with my family. So what we do differently is we actually just talk about like, okay, honey, you know, I need the outdoor time, but I also know you need me to be part of the family. So you're not a single parent for like 4 months straight.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we pick and choose weekends like that. And then like, let's say she has something where she's going to go to a birthday party, you know, with Valencia, my daughter, and some moms. And I'm like, okay, so that's a hotel pool party. What's the over under that I go or don't go? Like, you know, how bad are you going to bet? Like, I need to be there. Like, you know, and we just talk through it.
Yeah.
And sometimes she'll say, to be honest with you, like, you don't have to be there. And then I'll go ask my daughter again to plant that seed. Like, hey, so you have this party. It's a pool party. It's this. What would you say? Would you want me to be there? Or are you okay if I hunt? And then we problem solve. And Valencia will say something like, and she's an all or nothing kind of girl. But she'd be like, well, what are you going to be hunting? And what's, you know, are you chasing a buck? But she'll problem solve with me.
Man,
and then
cool.
she'll just like, you know what, Dad, it's okay. You can hunt. I'll be okay. But she's like, you better send me a picture. Right. So,
yeah.
But there's conversations. Now, if she looks and I'm not there, right, she's not getting splashed at the pool site.
Yeah.
She's not upset that like I'm not there. She'll just think, oh yeah, Dad's hunting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so my wife, we've, you know, done this too. I put her on the blind. I, you know, tried to take her hunting. It's just not her deal.
Yeah.
So we just keep pushing, like, okay, we bike ride in nature preserves. Like, you know, we take some walks. We do all kinds of things. Finally, just talking about, like, a list of things I want, a list of things she wants. She found this thing. I forget exactly what it's called, but, like, glamour camping
oh,
kind of deal.
Dude, yes. My wife is the same. We did
oh,
that
goodness.
Outside what? Of the Grand Tetons a couple years back. And we haven't
okay.
stopped talking about it since. It's fantastic.
You actually did it?
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my, I promise you, when we have like a long weekend or a stay, where she'll show me things like, hey,
yeah.
what if you did this? Her biggest thing in the world is like, she doesn't want to pee on grass next to a tree. She
yep.
doesn't want to pee, you know,
yep.
with spiders and bats coming out of an outhouse.
It has like, to be a shower close by.
It has to be a shower. And she has to have heat.
Yeah.
Like I have to have air. Cause like, I sweat when it's like
airflow,
60 degrees. So like, so there's like this place. And so we started looking for this stuff and this, so we just celebrated our 33rd wedding anniversary. And so we went to Vail
oh,
and
nice.
we went camp or not camping. We went hiking.
Yeah.
And you know, we hiked a 4 mile hike up, you know, I don't remember exactly 10,000 feet, whatever it was, but so we went 4 miles up and 4 miles back down and she loved it. And she's
right.
like, we could probably make this an annual thing. And I was just so thankful, like literally coming down, I just had so much joy. I kept laughing and giggling. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, it's just fun. It's just, can't believe it. Like, we found this thing, you know? And I've tried like mushroom hunting, shed hunting, pheasant hunting, like we've tried it all.
Yep.
And she'll bike if it's a cement trail. Mm-hmm. Okay. And now we know she likes to hike, and then she likes to glamp, which we've never done yet, but we're looking at these pieces because it was a super busy summer because everybody's home from COVID.
Oh yeah.
So we had our whole family home for several months there because campus is closed. So both boys were home again. So, but here's the thing, like you have to like go after these pieces. Like, okay, I know like if I do like some kind of rough hunting, I'm going to rough it at some camp. There's no way my wife's going. So why would I even bring that up? Why would I even start a fight?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's like during the rut, like November, and she wants to go to like some swap meet in Georgia, like for a week, like there's no way we're going to fight.
Yeah.
So those are called strikes. And here's a strike. Like, this is my ultimate 100%. My bro hunt. Well, why am I going to bring that up to my wife? Like, she's going to strike it, right? She's going to draw an X-ray through it. Why would she bring up her women's weekend for me? Like, I'll draw an X through it. Do you get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Yep. So we have to be able to like look at each other and be like, okay, I think my wife would go for this. Okay, I think my husband would go for this. And then we start the conversation there.
Yeah.
Okay, like, you know what your wife will want and won't want. There's no reason to start a fight.
Sure.
Okay. Yep. And then if there's an absolute time, and so like, you know, I'm kind of weird with the moon phases and all that. So I try to pick a super good week.
Mm-hmm.
And on that week, I'll probably take Friday off and Monday off. And it's a gamble every year.
Sure.
You know, it's probably a little bit later than most people, because I want to try to catch, a big buck who just got done breeding and he's hungry again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so my week is typically like, I would say that third week of November.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the week I go after a lot, just because everything's kind of died down and there's usually a mature buck who's cruising.
Yep.
And it's a hit or miss, you know, and for me, you know, at this point, like, I just love to see him, put him on film, you know, mm-hmm. show him to my kids, whatever. But, and she's pretty good at, I'll take a Friday off and a Monday off, or sometimes a Thursday, Friday, and then the weekend. So I don't take a whole week. That's just me.
Yep.
You know, I don't do the rut vacation stuff because, you know, I used to do that stuff, but in the big picture of the living legacy piece I'm trying to drop and live, I got to be example also. And like that, I'm the only dude having fun during those 2 weeks. Right.
Yeah, sure.
So
sure.
I just take a couple of days. I just take a couple of weekends. And then we still have our vacation time for family. Mm. So now we're moving toward like a week with my wife and I, and then a week with my whole family. You know, big extended family. We did a week like at this lake in Iowa called Honey Creek, and Tyler and the grand girls came, and you know, my son came, both boys came back from campus, and we just had a great family vacation for a week. And so those are the living legacy pieces, because we get to play golf, we get to play tennis, we play cards, we talk about a lot, we game plan, we talk about dreams. You know, we vision cast. It's different, you know. It doesn't look typical, right, the way that we want to live our life for our family. So that's that piece of how we do that in real time. Now let's say you regroup with your 12-year-old and you want to do things differently. So I have a 10-year-old. We've been youth hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And the number one thing we do, like when we're packing and we're talking about it, I just explain how it's going to look so she has a vision. Again, I drop a seed. Like, we're going to park, we're going to walk down this hill, we're going to get in this blind. You're going to be on my left. I'm going to be on the right. I'm going to set you up in front. We're going to have the camera set up. We just kind of walk through what it's going to look like. This is the kind of deer we're looking for. You know, that kind of a thing. We're not going to take your phone. We're going to talk, that kind of stuff. I'm going to have you can do this little can call once in a while. Like, I just kind of just walk through it. Okay. And then the cool thing is, and actually I got a video of it, so maybe I'll post it and I'll tag Land and Legacy.
Yeah,
in it. But it's a walkthrough. So here's how it works. So we're sitting down in our chair, everything's set up. And everything was scripted. We know what to do. It's almost like a fire drill, right?
Right.
So I'm sitting there, and then I just go, buck, buck, buck. And then she pops up. She turns on the iPhone camera, which is facing toward us. Then she gets on the gun, and I start on the bigger camera, which is looking down range. And then she's looking, and then I showed her where to go. These bucks were stopping at this little scrape.
Right.
So she gets to that tree, and then I'm like, tell me when you're on him. And she's like, I'm on him. And then I get on it, and I'm like, okay, I'm on it. And then she's like, okay, safety off. Then she's looking, and she'll say like, fire in the hole. I'm like, I'm on him. And then she has to do this. We call it her archery breath. Mm-hmm. She takes a really huge breath in and then a big, huge exhale. And then even on the video, you hear her exhale and she goes, pew. As if she like shoots the trigger, you know.
Yeah,
like, it's fun. And then we sit down and we shut it all down and then just talk about it. Like, okay, how'd you feel? Do you feel comfortable this way? Am I too close? And we just problem solve it. And so that's what we do, is just, you know, we talk about normal stuff like family and kids. And she tells me all kinds of stories about kids at school and stuff like that. And then in the middle of nowhere, I go, buck, buck, buck. And we jump up and do it again.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Because like we're hunters. Like, we've been doing this for years. Our kids are just happy to be there.
That's right.
But then when the scenario comes down, we know exactly what we want them to do, but we don't articulate what we want them to do.
Right. Yeah. Right? How are they to know? Right.
Yep. How are they to know? Like, they just like, okay, I just put the gun where? Like, what do I do with this hand? Like, right. How do I, and they just like, so then panic hits in that moment and then they're going to miss or jerk the shot. And then we're like, are you kidding me? You know?
Yeah.
And, then hunting becomes like a failure, and we don't want that at all.
Yeah. And I'm sure just that situation right there, how can we expect them to go through life, a situation in life that they've never been through, and execute it perfectly, right? We should probably do the exact same thing and walk them through it, kind of role play it out, of what they may encounter at school or what they may encounter in life in general, or friends and relationships and things like that. Like, at the end of the day, the two words that kind of just come to mind with like everything we've talked about thus far is just communication and awareness. Like, you have to be
absolutely,
like, it's like, how do you successfully hunt? It's like when preparation meets opportunity.
Yes.
Yeah. So you can let's say luck into hunting, or luck into a buck that walks down range and you put an arrow in it. But if you prepare for those opportunities specifically, yeah, you might have a little bit better awareness of when they're going to occur. But like in life, man, if you're not prepared, opportunity in life is just going to come up and bite you or bite your kids right in the rear. And they can't be prepared for that unless you've had coaching, unless you've had practice, unless you've had the run-throughs and the discussions. And so what you guys are doing there in the blind, I think probably could be a great parallel just to life in general, and being present, being aware, and a good communicator. And I think that just ties right into what we're talking about, if you will, the root of the podcast is that living legacy, just being present, being aware, and wisdom dropping on them.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, like that happens in real time. So like sometimes you're in a tree stand, like when I hunt with Brenton, I'm in a new tree.
Yeah.
Like, hey, come hunt this farm with me. Okay, cool. So I jump up. And as soon as I get there, like I range find for trees, like it's a new spot for me. I've never been there before.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
You know, and I had no idea what I'm looking at. So then I kind of set up how I'm going to move. You know, sometimes I'll remove my bow arm. I put it on my left. I'm going to put it to my right, because I'm actually going to face the tree, all that kind of stuff. You start to range find. Then I grab my bow and full draw and kind of like swing around and look where the branches are.
Yeah.
Like, okay, I don't have time to trim that branch, so I'm going to have to like take a knee here a little bit, shoot for my knees. And you kind of just role play, you know, script it.
Yep.
Now that doesn't usually happen like you thought it would. It comes from a different side. It comes, you know what I mean? But at least like I've dropped down anxiety a little bit, so I can handle a little bit more buck fever now.
Yep.
Because like half of the game I've already scripted.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. And after you do that, like it just opens up so much more calmness. So like I was chasing this buck called Roman for 3 years, in 2016 I got him. But he only walks through thick stuff. He doesn't expose himself, and if he does, he's on the fringe.
Yeah.
And I kept thinking about my tree stand, where the only place I can catch him, like cutting through corridors, like it's a pinch point.
Sure.
And I just had this weird feeling, like he's gonna come from behind me, like the only freaking spot I can't shoot, he's gonna walk through that junk.
Yeah.
And so I spun around, I moved my bow, I faced the tree, and I kind of watched at an angle toward the thick stuff.
Yep.
And sure enough, he comes walking that way. And I had to trim some branches, but where he came through, the only opening I could shoot is what I trimmed, but he didn't come through that way. He came through and went around this huge, big, kind of like dead tree.
Yeah.
And so the only option I had, this is really, really funny, but I had to duck under a branch and then reach over another branch. And I shot him from like squatting position.
Nice.
Now, unfortunately, I hit a branch and it gut shot at him. Yeah. It was bad.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it was the only shot I had on him in 3 years. Like, this dude is super, you know, he was, they rated his teeth at 7.5. He's 7.5 years old.
Nice.
You know, he's 175 inches. He was just like this huge
toad,
fat, like Iowa toad.
Yeah.
I chased him for 3 years. Okay. So, like maybe a couple years later, Tyler was hunting this buck and I was trying to just figure out with Tyler on that same farm. So I told Tyler, I was like, hey, if you hunt from my tree stand on this wind, that buck comes down the backside of me, but you're going to have to face the tree stand. And if you're watching left, looking at like 11 o'clock, you don't have to duck down. It's the only window you got.
Yeah.
Okay. So he hunted that tree stand and we walked through that scenario a couple times. He calls me at 8 o'clock and I'm at the office and he was like, dad, I shot a buck. And this is like, you know, like 29-year-old grown man.
Yeah.
And he's like, dad, shot a buck. I was like, stop, bro. I know you just woke up out of bed. You didn't hit your alarm, did you? You know, just.
Yeah.
And he's like, no. And he FaceTimes me and he can see this buck dead, like literally 30 yards from his tree stand.
Nice.
I was like, bro, you smoked him, you know?
Yeah.
And this is the thing, like, that's a living legacy with my grown adult son.
Yeah.
Like, I learned something about that tree and about that northwest wind coming. And I'm like, dude, here's how it's going to happen.
Yep.
And it happened. Okay. Now, again, that you can't always say that that's going to happen because we plan that multiple times and it doesn't happen.
Right.
Right. But the idea for us is we want to teach systems and we want to teach decision making. Okay. So I got a friend, his name's Bill, and he owns a bunch of land and he allows me to bow hunt on it, but he likes bow hunting only. And, so I saw some old tree stands in the land a few years back. And I said, hey, so do you bow hunt? Because like and he's like, well, let me tell you. And he mentioned a book to me, and I'm sorry, but I can't think of it off the top of my head. But it basically talks about a life of a hunter. Like when hunters drop, they kill everything. Then they start to build a little bit of like, you know, like love for the animal. And then they get to a point where they shoot deer only with the camera. Yep. Then they get to a point where they're like full 100%, you know, conservationist.
Yep.
And so I laughed about that because I'm like, dude, you're like third person just told me that who's an older man who says, oh, you hunt? Let me tell you something. Okay. So when I created 12-2 Outdoors, the nonprofit is like, why do we have to wait for 20 years for all of us to circle back and say, I want to develop land, right? I want to build habitat and I want to restore humans. Like I want to build humans, right?
Yep.
Why do we have to wait for that? So like when on a couple run throughs, we did it with 12-2 Outdoors. Tyler, my son, my eldest son's a youth pastor. And so he's got a bunch of young guys, young men who are bow hunters.
Yep.
And so these guys are, you know, like 18 to 20, maybe 22 now. And we brought them in as like little mentors.
Sure.
And they're going to mentor little kids. And so when we ran them through the course, they fell in love with these Genesis bows from Matthews.
Yeah.
And they were just all about it, you know, and they're like, dude, when can I take on the little dude?
Right.
Like, okay.
Right.
So like these guys are like in the front 4 years of their hunting.
Sure.
And we're dropping a 20-year legacy idea on them right now.
Yeah.
Right. Like I would have never been that guy who like sold out my family for deer for a couple of years if somebody would have taught me that, you know, earlier.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so like this is the land and legacy concept when we pair it with living legacy is yes, drop a farm to your kids and grandkids. Yes, leave money to them. But in my personal opinion, more importantly, they need to know how you got that land, how you got that system, how you developed the bucks, how you developed the land, how you develop people. Because if you teach them the system, they can teach that system to everybody.
Yeah. It's repeatable at that point.
Yes, absolutely. So it's crazy for me. Like it gets me hungry to see these young 20-year-olds are hungry to mentor.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm just like, thank you, Lord. Praise God. Like that. Like these guys are coming to me and I know what to teach them.
Right.
Right. I can't mentor everybody, but I'm like, dude, here's the idea. I'm going to teach you some tools. And then in real time conversation, you're going to have to just go with your gut and just ask God to give you wisdom. And you're going to have to just tell him the best advice you have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because like this 20-year-old has a lot to teach, you know, a 10-year-old, right?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. And so and then that 20-year-old, when he's 50, like think about how many mentees that person has a hand on teach living legacy principles.
For sure. A lot.
You know,
a lot.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Well,
it's
unbelievable. There's so much. I think of like the responsibility that like even when you're young, you always want to be a little bit older, right? And
yes.
You give them a piece of responsibility, like, hey, this is, you know, take this on. You know, you got the kid kind of for the weekend while hunting and teach them everything you know. Like kids or young adults just grasp onto that. Like they're hungry for responsibility. Most of them are. And it's amazing what they can do with it. Like when you give them a little bit of room to
grow and share, it's amazing how they respond to that. And I think it's incredible from that hunting side of thing, because
yes,
they have observations, they have time in the field, and they're passionate about that. They're passionate about sharing that because it's something that they enjoy. But now here's the opportunity for them to directly impact someone else. And I feel like if you can teach that, like sharing the mentoring gift to someone at that young of an age, right? What are you setting the rest of their life to be like? If they find reward, personal reward in that type of activity and that time shared with someone younger than them, well, they're probably going to go out and do it again and again. It's just like doing something that's repeatable.
Yeah,
and you're going to impact 100%. More people.
Yes, so, absolutely.
That's cool. Man, that's real cool.
Yes.
So
that and this ties into like, okay, so the picture of the guy at 12:2 is a guy in the Bible called Mephibosheth. And he's a guy who was born with disabilities. And there's a gentleman who helps him.
Mm-hmm.
And the gentleman says something like this. I'll paraphrase. He says like, hey, you don't know me, but your dad did amazing things for me.
Mm.
So because of that, I'm going to bless you.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's the 12:2 story for us, you know, right. The Romans 12:2 outdoors, and that like, we're going to help all these kids so that as they grow up, they can circle back and be like, hey, I don't know your story, but some Christian dudes helped me when I was a kid, and I'm just going to pour into you.
Mm. Yep.
You see what I'm saying? Like we can, that thing's full circle. And then personally for us, like when I'm not here, you know, somebody like you and people that I've mentored or people that I've worked with, they could be like, hey, you don't really know me, but your dad was an awesome dude, and I'm gonna help you on this farm because like he helped me.
Yep.
Right. So yep. Like that same concept of like, you don't know me, but your dad did amazing things with me and for me.
Right.
Right.
Absolutely.
And so that concept of Mephibosheth in the Bible, that's what we're going after. These concept of the least of these kids that are forgotten.
Hmm.
And that's my heart.
I love it. Well, and it sets up kind of the idea or principle that we commonly look at a hunting season as just one season. Like, what are your goals for fall of 2020? And that's a 4-month period, right?
Sure.
It's a small window, but like, I don't know if it's because, you know, bucks shed and they grow a new set of antlers. It's like a refresh, and then it like cancels out. And then again, 2021, it's a refresh start, and then it just like ends. It's very compact and seasonal based, let's say, from your opportunity to hunt. But I think when we pair and start to think about a living legacy and exactly what 12:2 is doing in this scenario we just painted with the mentors and building that living legacy with individuals, I would like to think why or change the thought of why do we think of seasons as like 1-year time frame and goals? Why are we setting goals for just like what we want to accomplish this season? Why isn't it like in the next 5 years with my time outside, this is what I want to accomplish? I want to bring 8 new hunters into. I want to take my kids and I want to build relationships with my children in the outdoors. We think of it very, again, compartmentalized in one season and not like over the course of 5 seasons, or over the course of 10 seasons, what can my impact be? And I'd like to see, one, myself adopt to that, but then two, that kind of be a goal for longer term, because I think then we can accomplish more things of the living legacy. We can make impacts certainly each season with our, you know, kids that you have that you're a part of, but what happens if we begin to train our minds to think in like a 5-year time span or a 10-year time span when it comes to, again, that time outside?
That's correct. And so, you know, there'll be a conversation with Land and Legacy with you guys about just coming to consulting with the farm that we have, and just to lay out where to go, where to move. But my big push is, like, I'm a firm believer in sanctuary. So there's a spot in a, on this little farm that we hunt that where nobody goes in there unless you're chasing a deer. And we go in there, we go home, shower down and scent down, and we go in there to find it. And so we'll leave some scent, but we're not going to just go in there like straight from the office with cologne on or something. And so, we have some systems like that. There's corridors that we don't put tree stands on because they come on the land and come off the land. And we leave a lot of brush up there like that. So, that's like a long-term goal of like, we're not just hunting this year. Otherwise I'd sit up on one of those and catch somebody cougars in, but then we burn them out and they don't come on the land. So there's ins and outs that you have to kind of do today that's going to leave you open for the next few years. So beyond like a giant on the land that I look at, I don't make a list. I don't make a list of like hit bucks. Like this is my hit list. I don't personally do that. I'm like, okay, I'll see what happens. I'm going to fill the freezer first and then we'll see what happens. That's how I'm always going after it. So I don't get hurt. If I don't get a deer, I just don't. It's not my thing anymore, but it used to be, and I didn't like it. It took me in a wrong spot, and I'm super competitive, and I lost my mind, kind of. And I'm the I'm the supposed expert, bro. Like, what?
Antlers are crazy things, man.
I mean, like, dude, like, how did I get so lost, right? So I don't do that anymore. So now it's more general about making the deer be able to flow on the land and flow off the land. But we don't do anything like the habitat restoration yet. We don't do anything like even doing food plots. I do these little honey hole, like a destination plot where you just literally throw and grow. And so it's just kind of minimal because, again, the time thing is with my family. But I want you to think about this. Like, you know, we can look at a farm and have like an 8-year, 10-year, 20-year plan and be like, how is this going to look in 15, 20 years, right? If I talk to my investment coach, he'll say like, hey, what's your plan 20 years from now? I'm like, what? Like, I don't know. Like, you know, like, okay, there's areas where dark in, like, I have no idea. But for me and what I do, I've always, when my kids hit the ground, I'm like, okay, where do I want to see my kid at 18? When my kid's available to leave the house, what skills do I want her to have? And so I push super hard on those skill sets. So we have kids do chores. We have them do a lot of work themselves. We have them start doing laundry like at 12. We have them have balancing their own checkbook at 16, their own debit card. And so there's the systems that we have that by the time that kid leaves, it's a fully grown adult, like they can manage their life. The craziest thing in life right now is that straight A students graduate from high school, they go to college and they flunk out and they come home, but they're not drugged out. They're not, you know, like, you know, pregnant or anything. They literally can't manage their domestic life. They don't know how to do laundry. They can't set an alarm. They can't discipline themselves to go to bed on time. They can't say no to a group of peer pressured friends who don't let them study. They want to go out. And so there's little things like that, the same concept of like, hey, let's focus on the long game here. We do the same thing with land. We do the same thing with our deer habitat. We want to do the same things with our kids and our wives. Like, where do we want to see this in 5 years? Where do we want to see this in 15 years? And and you don't have to have the answers. Be just like, well, I'm not sure, but I definitely want to go in this direction. And that's okay. That's where we start, right?
Goes
and
back then you to start awareness. To learn
back to awareness. And then the conversation, like, you don't have to have all the answers because you have a wife who has a lot of the answers as well. So we just got to put it together to make sure we're going down the same route. And this is what happened.
Well, guys, there it is. What a powerful, powerful podcast. Knew it was going to be, and certainly lived up, exceeded expectations with Dr. Raul Sanchez. We had some technical difficulties there. So it probably ended kind of abruptly there. That's I'll take the blame for that. Some oversight on my part, so I apologize. But it is, it's always special, I think, and important to slow down and begin to think about the weight of the actions that we take daily, whether it's habitat related or hunting related. We put so much effort into the building of a hunt, the setup, the access, all these things. And I think it's important that we slow down and remember and give as much time to other important things in our life. And I've been reminded of that here lately too, and just from personally. So don't overlook the podcast. I hope that it hit people where it should have, right in the heart, and was just, again, that slowing down and awareness of how we use our time and how we can be more impactful
in other people's lives and leave the legacy or create a living legacy with people who are close to us and those who aren't. Whether you're mentoring a new hunter this fall or taking your grandchild or taking your son or your daughter, those times and those moments are certainly, certainly important. And I don't think that could be stressed enough. And then just a relationship there with our own wives or companions, whatever you want to call them. And they're super important. And I'm not saying that because I've got it all figured out. Just saying that because living out daily of the, let's say, the balance and the struggles of trying to create something that is wholesome, but commonly fail. And it's important, I think, to always get like that gut check. So here's the gut check this week. And hopefully it will carry through with you for the season. And guys, we just appreciate you listening to the podcast. If it felt right to you, if it meant something to you, then we just ask that you share it with someone important, whether that's just through a text message, maybe you weren't able to put into words your feelings of going outside or what someone may mean to you. And maybe this podcast is a way to do that. Just simply share that with them or share it on social media. But we appreciate everyone listening and hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you back next week here at the Land and Legacy Podcast.